Welcome to In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And for the final time, we're going to talk about the Green Bay Packer game. Oh, man, missed opportunity. What can you say? Flat out missed opportunity. Saw NFL history, not the good side of NFL history. Five field goals missed by both teams combined in the fourth quarter and overtime. Never happened in NFL history since the merger in 1970, and I'm sure it's never happened in NFL history. Plus, an extra point was missed to boot. 16 points left on the field with the kicking game. And we talked about it. I've talked about it with players on radio, and I'm going to talk about it on this podcast a little bit. The thing that people don't realize is Crosby hit 27 in a row. For him to miss three, and for McPherson to miss two, the range that he has and the length and the accuracy, the how straight he kicks the football, something was up. Mother Nature was up. On the field, didn't affect the passing game. It was the wind or gusts of wind weren't any kind of a factor. You get up into the higher elevations and you look at the flags on top of the stadium, the American flag, there was some gusts. And usually it blows from the northwest. This time, very, very rare, coming from the southwest. And it hits in the stadium and starts to swirl. It was causing the kickers problems. I mean, Evan McPherson hit that last field goal, that 49-yarder, and Kevin Huber told me the same thing on the radio show that I did. As the holder, he can feel the power of the kick. And he said McPherson struck it pure. McPherson felt the same way. And they both looked up, saw the thing going right down the middle of the goalpost. They both started celebrating. Kevin Huber said, I was in just like McPherson. I mean, we both were fooled. But once it got near the end zone, a gust of wind took it about 5 yards to the left, and it went just outside the upright and hit the flag on the top of the upright. That was blowing one way, and the flags up top were blowing another. So that's what you're dealing with the wind, with the swirling effect of the winds. So not making any excuses. I mean, they have to make adjustments, and the kickers missed five. You're never going to see that again, hopefully. Five missed field goals. But other than that, even though that happened, the Bengals still had opportunities to win the football game. Usually in a three-point game, you look back and say, there are about two or three things that if this went the other way, the outcome's different. In this game, there's 20, not just the five kicks. There are 15 other things in this football game that if it had gone the other way would have determined the outcome of the game. Going to hit on a couple of things here. Third down, particularly third and short. The Cincinnati Bengals have to be better in third and short. Third and one, they try a quarterback sneak. Joe Burrow gets stuffed. They miss a third and two. They hit Joe Mixon up in there. He only picks up 1 yard. They had a third and three. They didn't convert. A third and four. When you're in third and four or less, you have to convert those, whether it be by ground, air, whatever the case may be. Third and short was a huge factor in the Cincinnati Bengals losing that football game to the Green Bay Packers. There is no question about it in my mind. No two ways about it. The turnover battle, of course, two interceptions for Cincinnati, one for Aaron Rodgers. And in the four-game winning streak that the Green Bay Packers now have, Aaron Rodgers has 11 touchdown passes and one interception. And the one that he suffered was at the hands of Owuzie. Great play by him. I mean, he had himself a good football game. You know, you think he was the primary cover guy on Adams, and you think Adams had 200 yards receiving. He made some plays, and you know this Adams is a playmaker as well. It was a good battle. The Bengals lose the turnover battle under Zach Taylor. They're now 6-2-1 when they win the turnover battle, 3-7 when it's even, 0-18. Zero wins, 18 losses when they lose the turnover battle. Let that sink in a little bit. You're going to have to start winning the turnover battle on a more consistent basis. Another thing that struck me, five quarters of play, basically, four quarters of play and almost all the way through overtime. The Bengals only had two penalties called on them. The Packers only had two penalties called on them. They had two penalties for 10 yards. They had a couple of false starts, you know, nothing major whatsoever. The two penalties called on the Bengals were huge. Two penalties for 21 yards. They have a first down. On fourth down, they run. Joe Burrow runs for the first down. Quentin Spain gets called for holding. They called holding because it was at the point of attack. If he had done that on the backside of a play, I don't think it would have been a big deal. But when it's at the point of attack, if that block sprung the play, in other words, was a key component of that play being successful, and they felt that it was dicey in terms of technique, and there may have been a little bit of a rule violation, they're going to call it. They're going to call it more so. And that one was key. It was at the point of attack when Joe Burrow took off up the middle of the football field to run it. The left guard was involved in a block. Did he grab? Did he get his hands up in the face mask? Whatever, they called it. And that was huge because, you know, they ended up punting the football away. They get nothing on that drive. And they had a first down on that fourth down run. It goes from fourth and five to fourth and 15. The other one was unbelievable. DJ Reader gets held and taken to the ground. As he's taken to the ground, he kicks his leg up. Now, did he try to trip? Yeah. The official saw the end of the play, saw Reader kick his leg up there and try to trip, and he threw the flag, and he called him for tripping. It was third and one. The Bengals stopped the play. They stuffed Dylan. Third and one. Bengals get penalized. They don't call the hold that threw Reader to the ground. I mean, I'm an ex-offensive lineman. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to the lineman. Reader got tossed to the ground. He got tackled. He got thrown to the ground and then kicks his leg up in there. So that the Green Bay Packers continue a drive that was stopped then. They would have had to punt. There wasn't great field position. They end up extending a drive that they score points on. So the two penalties, only two penalties on the Bengals the entire game, but both of them were crushing penalties in the outcome of a close football game decided in overtime by 3 points. So, you know, that's something that struck me when the football game was over. One thing that I thought was a plus, the Cincinnati Bengals continued the struggle the Packers have in the red zone defensively. Going into the game, the Green Bay Packers have given up 11 touchdowns and 11 red zone possessions. Make it 13 touchdowns and 13 possessions. The Bengals went 2 for 2 in the red zone. They get inside the 20-yard line. They scored. They also scored a 2-point conversion, which is basically another red zone play in my estimation. So they're technically 3 for 3, you know, although it's not a touchdown, it's a 2-point conversion, but you're taking advantage of that tight, low red zone defense the Green Bay Packers are having problems with. The Bengals took full advantage. They scored 14 points in the red zone with that. 2 touchdowns, 6 points each, and the 2-point conversion. They put 14 points on the board against the Green Bay Packers red zone defense, which was a major weakness. They took full advantage. The only problem was only got in the red zone twice. Yet there are more. Their defense has had to defend a bunch of red zone possessions. Got to keep the opponent out of the red zone more. The Bengals have to get in the red zone more because the Bengals are scoring at an 80% clip in the red zone. 4 out of every 5 times they get in the red zone, they're scoring touchdowns. That's in the top 3 in the league. They got to get there more often. On the flip side, they got to stay out of the red zone. But Green Bay got there 5 times in the red zone, only scored twice. You hold the Green Bay Packers to 40% red zone conversion, that's winning football against that offensive football team. So, and like talked about in an earlier podcast, the Packers had 9 possessions that ended up inside the Cincinnati Bengals 40-yard line that they're defending, that short field. They only scored 2 touchdowns on 9 possessions that at one point they're inside the Bengals 40-yard line. That's a defense that is bending but not breaking, and particularly when they get in the red zone. They were the ultimate bend but don't break. A lot of good things, you know, happened during the course of this football game. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, I mean, you basically have to decide when you look at the tape, this is a positive. This is good. Let's build on this positive. All right, we have problems here. Let's correct them and make sure that they don't happen a second time, a third time. The problem in the National Football League, if you want to compete in these close football games, you can't make the same mistakes over and over and over. If a player does it, not going to be in the NFL very long. If a coach makes the same errant calls multiple times in a row, he's not going to be in the league very long. So you have to learn from your mistakes and move on, correct them, move on and take care of the next opponent. And that's going to be, in my mind, the biggest thing that they have to do, because you have to get over this Green Bay game. And it's going to be hard. That's a game could have and should have won, didn't. Green Bay felt the same way. Could have and should have won. They did. What the Bengals have to do is realize that the Detroit Lions are a legitimate opponent, even though they haven't won a football game. Dan Campbell, their head coach, is a very emotional guy. If you saw his press conference after that loss that the Detroit Lions suffered at the hands of the Minnesota Vikings, you see how vulnerable the guy is. I mean, he is passionate and emotional about his football team. He loves his players. His players love him. They're going to play hard for him. They're going to show up. They lost 19-17 to the Baltimore Ravens. We know how good the Baltimore Ravens are. They're in this division. We know how good Jackson is. We know how good other players are on that football team. They lost 19-17 on a 66-yard field goal by Tucker, the Pro Bowl kicker. Shouldn't have happened. Should have been a 71-yard attempt because the play clock expired and the officials blew it, missed it. That's a crushing defeat. Then they lose at the gun to the Minnesota Vikings by the same score, 19-17. Worst case scenario, they should be 2-3. They're not. That's life in the National Football League. But you can't take an opponent like this for granted. In my mind, one of the biggest things the Bengals have to do is come out and score early. They've gotten off to slow starts. Come out and score early. You have to take the wind out of the sails of the Detroit Lions right away. The longer they stay in the football game, the more confidence they're going to get. They're going to feel like this is our week. This is the week we're going to break through. So the Bengals need to come out, take care of business right away. Don't let the Detroit Lions hang around. I think that's going to be a big, big factor in this football game. Easier said than done, though. Believe me, getting over a game like the Cincinnati Bengals had against the Green Bay Packers, because I remember those games very well. You go home, and that night you close your eyes to go to sleep, and your eyes become projector lenses. And up on the ceiling, all you see are plays that you were involved in that, oh, if I had just done that differently, we would have won the game. If I had just done this instead of that, we would have won the football game. Coaches don't get much sleep. Players don't get much sleep the night after a football game like that. But you go through that little mourning process for 24 hours, then you have to move on. And that's what's going to have to happen for the Cincinnati Bengals. That's going to be their big challenge. We'll see if they can pull it off. Don't sleep on the Detroit Lions. If you fall asleep on the Detroit Lions, you won't have good dreams. They'll be nightmares.
Hi, Dave Lapham here. Have you heard about In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, presented by First Star Logistics? Catch new episodes from the world of sports and broadcasting. Search for In the Trenches with Dave Lapham on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.